If you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at verse 6. We're actually going to be hopping around to several passages of Scripture this morning, so if you have your Bible, get ready to flip around. All the verses will be up on the screen, or if you want a quick way to follow along reading what passages we'll be sharing, you can not only follow along on the screen or try to do a Bible drill and flip back and forth, but if you pull up our bulletin online, so if you go to our website, fbcrobinson.com, and you pull up our digital bulletin, you can actually just tap the sermon notes there on your phone or tablet, that little box where the sermon notes are, and it will pop up all the scripture passages we'll be using this morning. So be ready, because we're going to be reading a lot of what the Bible says about godly mothers. Now, what it means to be a godly mother this morning. I had to laugh earlier this week. There was someone who shared with me, well, Pastor Trey, you do such a good job of speaking, you hardly ever make a mistake, which, by the way, we record these messages. You know that's not true, right? I mess up all the time. I think back to an illustration that a preacher heard, and he really wasn't very good at giving illustrations, so he was always looking for new illustrations. And he went to a particular conference, and this speaker stood up, and he said the words, "I spent a good deal of my life in the arms of a woman who is not my wife." And everybody just paused. And he said, "And that woman was my mother." And everybody applauded, and it was a wonderful illustration. Well, that preacher thought, "I can use that." Now, this isn't about me, by the way, but it very well could be. "I can use that." And so next Sunday morning, he kind of stumbled through, and he got ready to do his message, and he said to his congregation, "I spent the good part of my life in the arms of a woman who is not my wife." And for the life of me, I can't remember who that woman was. Obviously, we spend a lot of time with our mothers, right? We're raised by these women who have invested in us. Even before we grow and become adults and are shaped into who we are, there are women who are laying the foundation years and years and years, teaching and training us how we should live. If you have a godly mother this morning, if you were raised by a godly mother, let it be something you rejoice in, something you take pride in and are thankful daily for. And especially today on Mother's Day, let it be an opportunity to thank the Lord for such a wonderful godly influence on your life. If you are a person who is raised by a wonderful mother and are maybe grieving today and saying, "I wish I could be with my mother today," take comfort and rejoice in the Lord for what He has given you and blessed you with. Be thankful for the woman who raised you. This morning, perhaps you were raised by a woman who you would not call a godly mother. Maybe you have some resentment or some disagreements with your mother. This morning, let it be an opportunity you draw to the Lord and say, "Father, be for me and train me to be an even better mother than my mother was to me." This morning, I want to ask the question, what does the Bible say about Christian mothers? What does the Bible say about being a mother and raising her children in a godly way? Well, being a mother is obviously an extremely important role that the Lord chooses to give to many women. It's so much so that God has elevated the position of motherhood in Scripture by sharing with us what a mother is to be. He has given women, and mothers particularly, clear commandments and clear callings on how they are to raise their children. Many of these that we're going to look at this morning, you can look back and say, "My mother modeled that and I'm thankful." Or many of these you can look and say, "Lord, I need to strengthen that in my own life." This morning, our key verse is Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's really a promise. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, many people take this verse to say, if I raise my child in a Christian way, in a Christian home, then they're going to grow up and be perfect little angels. And we both know that that's not always the case. This is not a verse that says, if you do everything right, then you're guaranteed a wonderful child. We realize that children grow up and they make their own decisions. But the promise is, if you invest in your children, they will know in their hearts, they will know the truth of God's word, and will have every opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. And as they grow old, even though they may stray, the truth of God's word will never leave them. So this morning, as we look at what it means to be a godly mother, know that it is a great responsibility that you have. Know that it is a foundation that is being laid for the duration of your children's lives. Understand that while you are not a perfect mother and will not be a perfect mother, God has called you to be the best mother you can be. And children, God has called you to love and honor your mothers as she strives to be a godly influence in your life. I love, and we read last week, Psalm 127, verse 3, a reminder as we think about motherhood. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Really, that word sons can be applied to daughters as well. Children are a heritage, a blessing from the Lord. And by default, we can safely assume then that being a mother means receiving a blessing and being a blessing. I've got 7 characteristics of mothers this morning, so we're going to move fairly quickly because they're all so important. So follow along with me, if you will, as we look at what Scripture says mothers are to be and what hopefully your mother has modeled to you. The first thing that Scripture says mothers have is availability. Mothers are always available. I don't know about your mom, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I needed something, my mother would be there for me. I know that. Now, there are times that I try to call and she doesn't answer and she's busy. And I get it. Mothers are busy people. But if I called up right now and said, Mom, I need you here for this reason, I know that she would drop what she was doing and be there for me. The command in Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that parents, particularly, are available to teach their children. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Moses writes, "These words that I'm giving to you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children." Now listen to when you need to repeat them. Mothers, listen to when you are to teach and to train. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Mothers are to be constantly available. Now, I know because I'm a dad that being a parent kind of stretches you. But every once in a while, I get to put on my Mr. Mom shoes. Hannah will be gone doing something, and I'll be at home with the 3 kids by myself. And I absolutely love those times and cherish those times. And I can't wait till Hannah returns, right? Amen? Because here's what you find out. Being a dad oftentimes means you get to have fun and do things. And of course, there's discipline and there's responsibilities. But there's only one person that can feed my newborn son properly, right? And we need mom. There's only one person who can talk to my preteen daughter when she's needing some advice. And that is mom. There's only one person who will do for when my middle daughter is hurt or sick or crying or in need. And that person is mom. Because you're adorable. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's not that being a dad is less than being a mom, but being a mom is a full-time job. It's constantly in need. There are times that when Hannah gets home and I've got the 3 kids, I say, I don't know how you do this. Every day, all day long. Mothers, you are called to be available. And I'm thankful for the availability that you have to your children and to your family. Not only are you to be available and around, the Bible says you are to be involved. A mother must have involvement. It's not just that you're there, but you are actively engaged, interacting and discussing and thinking and processing life together. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, but can also be applied to mothers. Parents, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." In other words, parents, and today we'll apply this to mothers, get involved in what your kids are doing. Now, one thing I appreciate about my mother is that she never missed a ball game. I don't think the entire time I played ball growing up, there was a game that my mother was not there. My dad came to a lot of them, but not all of them. I had other friends and family that would come every once in a while, but I knew that my mother was involved. I was not a Boy Scout. I signed up to be a Boy Scout. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, some of our scouts in here. I signed up to be a Boy Scout. But all of this particular scout troops had dads that were involved, and my dad wasn't able to be involved. And so my mother stepped up and said, I will be involved in Boy Scouts with you. Well, being the self-conscious and look back regrettable guy I was, I didn't want my mom hanging around with all the other dads. But it always stuck out to me that my mom was willing to be the only woman in that troop in order to be involved in what I was doing. You know, our mothers aren't just called to be available and around, but they are called to be involved and engaged, interacting and discussing and loving. And I'm thankful for a mother, and I hope and pray that you will be a mother who is involved in your own children's lives. Scripture also tells us that a mother must always be teaching, specifically the scriptures and a biblical worldview. You know, mothers are called to be the first line of education. So before you allow a school system, before you allow a Sunday school class or a church, before you allow an extracurricular activity to teach your children something, mothers, you are called to be that first voice, to be the one who is teaching right from wrong, Christian morals, scripture, and a biblical worldview. Deuteronomy 4:10 says, "Assemble the people before me and let them hear my words so that they may instruct their children." Mothers are called to be instructive and to be teaching, to be sharing what's right from wrong. That's why when your children come home and say, "This is what I learned from my friends," a mother is there to say, "Well, this is what the truth is." When a child comes home and says, "This is what my teacher taught me," the mother is to affirm or correct if there's unbiblical teaching. The mother and the father, the family, is the one who is primarily responsible for teaching their children. And God has called mothers to be constantly teaching right from wrong in a biblical perspective. And maybe this sounds similar to teaching, but it takes it a step further. Mothers are not only to teach, they are called to train. Mothers must be training. That is, I'm telling you right from wrong, and now I'm showing you how to live right from wrong. I want you to use what you know to serve others. Mothers, you're responsible for helping a child to develop skills and discover strengths. Our verse this morning, Proverbs 22:6, says just that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Moms, you are to be training. You're to be teaching your children what their gifts are and how to use them. You're to be pointing them to scriptures like Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that talk about spiritual gifts and how God wants them to use those gifts to serve the church and to serve the world. Moms, you are responsible for training and helping. You know, one thing I'm not is mechanical. There's a lot of things I enjoy trying to do, but if you ask me to do something on a car, it's probably going to end up poorly. You know, I know how to change oil and I know how to change a tire. And I can put gas in the car as long as I remember to do that, right? But as far as working on a car and taking it, I don't know. But you know, a lot of that's because I remember growing up, my dad would be working on a car or working on usually a tractor, and I'd say, "Can I help out?" And my dad was a wonderful man, but really, he just didn't have time. He had something he had to get done, and he didn't spend time showing me, "This is what is this, this is what is that, here's how you take this." And every once in a while, I get involved, but it just took too long, right? It was, "Son, I asked you for a wrench, and you brought me a screwdriver. You know, you're not getting it. I'll just do it myself." Yeah, I look at the opposite end of the spectrum. My mother's not known for being a wonderful cook, but there are a few things she does really well. A few meals that she's really good at. A few desserts particularly that I love and I still miss. And I can remember her in the kitchen with my sister, teaching her how to make tacos, teaching her how to bake a pie, teaching her how to do things that mothers typically do. It was patience, I'm sure, that she had that most of us men don't have, but it was getting involved and saying, "This is how you use that gift." Mothers, you are called to do that, not only in daily tasks, but also in Christian living. Here's what the Bible says is right from wrong, and here's how you are to live that out. Mothers must be available and involved. They must be teaching and training. And then, much to the chagrin of their kids, mothers must be people of discipline. You know, I never liked being disciplined when I grew up. I had my fair share of, we called them whoopings. I had my fair share of spankings, and I will say I deserved every single one. I can look back, and just one time I remember looking at my mom after she had whooped me, and I said, "Mom, that didn't even hurt." That was the last time I said that, I promise. Do you know, every single one of those moments of discipline, I look back and it was shaping me and teaching me and forming me. I remember my mom looking at me and saying, "This is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it's going to hurt you." And I thought, "I don't know, you're the one hitting me, you know." But now as a parent, I look back and I go, when I discipline my kids, it hurts me a whole lot more than it hurts them. You know, my mom never wanted to discipline me, but she did it because she loved me. She modeled the way the Lord disciplines in Hebrews chapter 12. It says the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Do you realize that when we are disciplined, it is because of the love God has for us? Just like a mother when she disciplines her children. It's not out of bitterness or anger. It's not even out of punishment. It's out of correction and it's out of love. I think Hebrews 12 verse 11 it best epitomizes maybe children in here. Maybe best helps us understand what discipline does. Verse 12 says, "No discipline seems enjoyable at the time." That is the understatement of the day. But painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Moms, don't be afraid to discipline and correct your children. Don't be afraid to teach them right from wrong, show them how to live, and then when they get off track, guide them back to the right path. Mothers are to be women of discipline, teaching them to fear the Lord, teaching children to consistently follow him, to be loving and firm at the same time, to be correcting and gracious. Mothers are to be available and to be involved and to be teaching and to be training. They're to be people of discipline. And they, of course, are women who are women of nurture. This should not be unique to mothers. Fathers, you should be nurturing as well. But if you look back on your life growing up, which of your two parents was more nurturing, your mother or your father? It was my mother. Even with the whoopings and the discipline, I look back and I say, my mother cared about me. That's why when you get sick, who do you want? It's not your dad, believe me. I've got three kids who will tell you that. When you're sick, you want your mom. Bring me the soup and take care of me. When you're hurting, who do you go to? It's always to mom. Because a mother is nurturing and caring and loving. You know, Titus tells us, as Timothy is writing to this young man, on how men and women are to invest in the next generation. He tells Titus that older women ought to teach younger women how to be godly and loving individuals. And in Titus 2:4, he says, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to care for. Yet this is less of a command and more of an illustration of how mothers interact with their families. I'm thankful for a mother who cared for me, who didn't just raise me, but nurtured me and loved me, who invested in me, who was available, who taught me and trained me, who discipled me and gave me the discipline and correction I need, who nurtured me. And then finally, mothers are to be women who model integrity. It's one thing to tell your kids this is right from wrong, or to tell your kids this is how you should live, or to teach your kids this is what the Bible says. But just as important, maybe more so, is that mothers, you must model that life yourself. That's why we read in Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the perversity of the treacherous destroys them. The integrity of the upright is what guides people. It's not always what you say, but it's what you do and it's how you live. Do you model what you teach? Do you live out the scriptures that you teach your children? Do you tell your kids you should go to church, but instead you encourage them to stay home when it's time to wake up and go? Do you tell your kids that they ought to be in the Word, but you've not opened your Bible in weeks? Do you tell your kids that sharing their faith is what God has for their lives, but you have not talked to a single individual about salvation? Do you teach your children differently from how you act? The Bible calls women and mothers to be women of integrity. Again, I'm thankful for a wife and a mother. I'm thankful for the godly people in my life who not only teach Scripture, but live it out as well. There are a lot of characteristics and a lot of responsibilities that the Bible puts on parents. And this morning, we'll specifically say on mothers and how they are to care and live with their families. And all of this work that gets put in, of being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of being intimately involved, as exhausting as it is, of teaching right from wrong and training how to live godly lives, of discipline and correction, of nurture and care, of integrity and Christian living. All of this lays a foundation for your children. It lays the groundwork for them to be trained up in the way of the Lord, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. This morning, maybe you've had a godly mother that you need to rejoice in the Lord. Maybe this morning you reflect back to the way you were raised and you just want to give praise to the God who has given you a godly mother. Maybe this morning you want to be the godly mother for your children. You can acknowledge, Lord, I have not been what I'm supposed to be as a mother, and help me and shape me to be the woman you've called me to be. Maybe this morning you're the child, the son or the daughter, whether you're elementary age or whether you're grown, who said, I've not appreciated all that my mother has done for me, how she's trained me up in the Lord, and I've let myself wander. Maybe this morning you need to spend time proving the Word of God true by returning to Christ and the biblical foundation that your mother laid in you. The Bible never states that every woman should be a mother. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take their responsibility seriously. This morning, I want to spend some time praying and rejoicing and thanking the Lord for wonderful women, wives, and mothers that He's placed in our lives. And I want to spend some time asking God to teach us to be godly children for our mothers as well. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to have a word of prayer and then have a time of invitation. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the godly women You've placed in our lives. Lord, I thank You specifically for my wife, who is a wonderful mother to my three children. I thank You for my own mom, who raised me to be the man that I am today. Lord, I thank You for my mother-in-law and my aunts who model Christian living. I thank You for my cousins who are raising their children in godly homes. Lord, I thank You for my church family who has many wonderful women who are investing in their kids. And Lord, we thank you for putting these strong women in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge to You, as wonderful a gift as that is, and as much as they invest in us, we still make our own decisions, and often, although we are trained in the way we should go, we often stray and fall away. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that You would impress on our hearts. Show us the way to return home. Show us our need to be faithful, not just to our mother, but to what our mother taught us, and that is to trust You. Lord, we thank You for the gospel that was implanted in us, that if we were to trust You as our Savior of our sins and the forgiver of our sins, if we were to trust You as the Lord of our lives and the One who guides us, if we put our faith and trust in You, that Your Word says we will be saved. Lord, I thank You for that message many godly mothers have shared with their children and with others, and we pray this morning that we would return to it. Lord, we thank You for the good gift of motherhood. We thank You for godly women, but we thank You even more so for the message of salvation of Jesus Christ that they've shared with us. Lord, guide us and lead us as You call us now. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.